السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you, شيخ؟
Hi, الحمد لله. How are you?
الحمد لله، I'm well. شرب وستعطى كلاس. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear respected students, may Allah bless you for your attendance. Today we are covering the Virtues of Islam by Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab Rahman Ali. Just a quick reminder, please take notes, listen attentively, and send your questions over to me throughout the course of this lesson. Jazakallah khairan, barakallah fikum, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, Fadail al-Islam, Virtues of Islam. الشيخ محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. وفي الصحيح عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. The hadith is reported by Muslim in Sahih, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, and Abu Dawud. So this beautiful hadith, Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, reported that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Al-Islam, what is Islam? What is this submission? Al-Islam, so al-Islam, submission, is to testify that there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger, and to establish the prayers, the salah, and to give the zakah, and to fast Ramadan, and to perform Hajj to the house of Allah, if you can afford that. Now let us reflect on this beautiful hadith, which explains the pillars of Islam. These are the pillars. The pillar of something is not the whole thing. The pillar of the building, the pillars of the building, is not the building. These are the pillars, these are the foundations upon which something else is going to be placed. These are the foundations, these are the pillars. Another structure is going to be built on these pillars. So al-Islam, this submissiveness, this submission, total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which you exhibit and manifest and show your servitude towards Him, towards your Creator, that you dedicate and offer all your deeds, all your acts of worship only to Him. You single Him out regarding your acts, your actions. So all your a'mal, all your deeds are for Allah. And this is what we call Tawheed al-Ibadah, or unity of worship, or unity of uluhiyah. So that's the meaning when you say Tashhad Allah ilaha illallah, when you say I testify, I bear witness, there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah. Yes, there are false deities that are worshipped, false gods, small g, but they do not deserve to be worshipped. So the one who deserves to be worshipped is Allah and Allah alone. And that's the meaning of La ilaha illallah. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. There's no one, there's no deity deserves to be worshipped. No object of worship deserves to be worshipped but Allah. And this shahada, and many times I explain this, I want you to pay attention always to the significance of the negation and the affirmation in this kalima. You testify, La ilaha, Allah ilaha. La ilaha is a negation. La is, we call it La annafiyatu liljins. La annafiyya liljins is this negating article La. It negates the genus, G-A-N-U-S, genus, the kind. It negates all that. So it negates all types of objects of worship that are worshipped. Because this La Navia Liljins, the negating article of the genus, the kind. It negates the whole jins, the whole genus. For example, in Arabic, if you say, La rajula fiddari, La rajula fiddari, there's no man in the house. An Arab will understand when you say, La rajula fiddar, you negated the genus of men. So there is no male in the house, even a small baby, an infant, no males, because you negated all males, that no one, there's no single male in the whole, in the house, because it negates the genus. If you say, La hayawana here, there's no animal. You negated all types of animals. That's one thing. Then from the grammar perspective, there is the function of this la, the function of la here, it functions and works like inna and its sisters. Inna and its sisters. Inna wa khawatiha. And you know what inna and its sisters do? For example, in the, I have to explain to you. That's why I keep begging you to learn Arabic if you want to understand your deen. I hope my words, they don't fall on deaf ears. In Arabic, you have the mubtada and the khabar, the subject and the predicate. For example, الرجل شجاع الرجل كريم محمد كريم. This sentence, الرجل شجاع, the man is brave. الرجل مبتدا, the subject, it is called مبتدا because the sentence started with it. And when the sentence begins with a noun, we call it جملة اسمية, nominal sentence. Because the sentence in Arabic are two types, verbal sentence, جملة فعلية, and جملة اسمية, nominal sentence when it begins with a noun. So when the sentence begins with a noun, الرجل is a noun, اسم, and then كريمٌ, شجاعٌ. So the first word is called مبتدا because that's how you begin the sentence with. And then the second part is خبر, predicate. It gives you information about this man. What is wrong with this man? He is brave. It describes the man. So this is the مبتدأ and the خبر. I hope it is clear. Now, and normally the مبتدأ and the خبر, the subject and the predicate, will be مرفوع, will have ضمة. الرجل كريم. زيد مجتهد. Always the مبتدأ and خبر will be like that. But now if I put in front of this مبتدأ and خبر إن or any of its sisters, what إن is going to do is going to make the مبتدأ منصوب instead of the ضمّة, it will be فتحة. And the خبر will remain مرفوع. It will not do anything to the خبر. So the sentence will look like this. Without إن الرجل كريم. Now I put إن in front of it. إن الرجل. Before إن الرجل. Now it will be الرجل. تنصب المبتدا وترفع الخبر. So the مبتدا will be منصوب with the فتحة and the خبر will be مرفوع. That's what إن does. Okay. Now we'll move to لا. لا does the same thing like إن and its sisters. Like إن and its sisters. That's why you say لا إله إله. Why إله? Because it is the مبتدا for لا. It's the subject for لا. And it functions like إن. And it negates the genus. It negates the genus. So la ilaha, this is ism la. Ilaha is the ism la. Where is the khabar? This is the mubtada. Where is the khabar? La ilaha. the khabar, the predicate is omitted, is not mentioned. Because ilaha means ma'bud, ma'bud. So la ma'buda. What is the khabar? Is omitted. تقديره, this khabar now, I have to keep it in mind that لا إله لا معبود بحق إلا الله. لا معبود يستحق العبادة إلا الله. There is no deity deserved to be worshipped but Allah. So the predicate, the khabar, is bihaqin or yastahiqu. So la ma'buda bihaqin illa Allah. So the one who deserves to be worshipped is only Allah. Okay. Because this la negates the genus. So all false objects of worship are negated. Are negated. And only one deity deserves to be worshipped, and that is Allah. So it negated the false objects that they don't deserve to be worshipped. And Allah is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. Because some people, they say, well, La ilaha illallah, La ma'bud illallah, La ma'bud illallah. There is no God but God. That's what they are saying. You might come across many of the books, there is no God but God. This is wrong. There is no God worthy of worship illallah. But to say there is no God but God, it is not true, because there are many gods people worship. Gods, small g, false deities. So how we are saying there is no God but God, when there are many gods people are worshiping? So the reality around us tells the opposite. There are other gods, small g, worshipped besides God. So the meaning is incorrect, not precise. But when you add, when you put bihaq, then all these false deities, though they exist, they don't deserve to be worshipped. Because Allah said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. That is because Allah is the truth, the haqq. وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ. And whatever they call besides him is falsehood. They don't deserve to be worshipped. I hope you are following and you are taking notes. Also, I want you to pay attention to the significance of the negation. La ilaha is a negation. Then illallah affirmation. So the kalima consists of two parts. Negation, nafi, then isbat. Isbat, affirmation. And the negation preceded the affirmation. What's the significance of the negation here to come before the affirmation? So first of all, you have to negate. First of all, you have to make kufr. Because when you say, La ilaha, there's no God, this is kufr, yes. First of all, you have to make kufr. You have to disbelieve in all these objects that are worshipped. You have to disbelieve in them. and then you believe only in Allah. That's why the ulama, they say at-takhliyah qabla at-tahliyah. At-takhliyah, into your heart first before you fill it with the iman. First, remove any false belief in your heart. A Christian wants to become a Muslim. We tell him. We explain to him this, the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And then when we are also giving him the Shahada, we ask him to testify that Jesus Christ, Son of Mary, is not God. Rather, he is a servant of God, messenger of God, to remove that false belief from his heart, which he had, he or she had been holding for years, that Jesus Christ, my Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So that's the significance of this negation, to remove any false belief in your heart. So first of all, you have to make kufr, you have to disbelieve. If you say, I will not disbelieve in all these false objects, but I will not worship them, but I will not disbelieve in them, the answer, you will not become a Muslim. You will not become a Muslim. It is a condition, mandatory, obligation. First, you have to negate. First, you have to disbelieve in anything that is worshipped besides Allah. If you say, I will not, you will not become a Muslim. You are a kafir, so you remain as kafir. You will not enter Islam. Till and you negate and then you affirm. That's why Quraysh, the disbelievers, the pagans, understood the meaning of it. Abu Lahab understood the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Abu Jahl understood the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Because they were Arabs, and they know the meaning of this. As Allah described them. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ وَيَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَتَارِكُ آلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونٍ. Whenever they are invited, whenever it is told to them, La ilaha illallah, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, istakbirun, they become arrogant. And they would say, Wa yaqulun, a inna latariku alihatina. Shall we desert, shall we leave our gods, small g, the idols, the sha'ir al-majnun, for the sake of a possessed poet. The Prophet ﷺ didn't tell them, leave your idols. He just asked them to say, La ilaha illallah. Say, yeah, we know. We know. That's the meaning of it. If we say, La ilaha illallah, it means that we have to disbelieve in all these 360 idols. That's the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And that's what they understood. أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. How Muhammad, he made all these deities into one. He wants us to worship only one instead of the 360. This is an amazing thing. So Quraysh, Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl understood The meaning of La ilaha illallah. And thousands and hundreds of thousands today, Muslims, they don't know the meaning of La ilaha illallah. They say it by their tongues while they are doing the opposite, committing the invalidators and the nullifiers of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, madad. They say, La ilaha illallah, oh Abdul Qadir Jilani, help us. Oh Hussein, help us. They are making Abdul Qadir Jilani partner with Allah. Al Hussein partner with Allah by calling them, asking them to help them. Because they didn't understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Quraysh understood it. Abu Jahl understood it. Abu Lahab understood it. That's why the Prophet, when his uncle Abu Talib was breathing his last, was dying. And he started asking his uncle, Ya Amma, قل لا إله إلا الله كلمة أحاج لك بها عند الله. Oh, my uncle, say La ilaha illallah, a word that will entitle me to argue your behalf, to intercede for you. Abu Jahl was next to Abu Talib. He said to Abu Talib, أراغب أنت عن ملة عبد المطلب? Oh, Abu Talib, are you deserting the religion of your father, Abdul Muttalib? Did the Prophet ﷺ ask his uncle to leave the deen of Abdul Muttalib? Or he just asked him to say La ilaha illallah? He just asked him to say La ilaha illallah. Abu Jahl knew the meaning. If you say La ilaha illallah, that means he has to disbelieve in the religion of Abdul Muttalib. The Prophet repeated, asking his uncle, Abu Jahl, and those around Abu Talib, said, أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. They were warning Abu Talib. Are you shunning? Are you deserting? Are you leaving? At the last moment, the deen and the religion of your father? Finally, Abu Talib said, "Ana ala din Abd al-Muttalib," and he died. I said, "I am upon the religion of Abd al-Muttalib," and he died. So he died as a mushrik. The Prophet said, "I will pay for you until Allah stops me," and Allah stopped him immediately. And Allah sent down, "Innaka la tahdi man ahbabta, lakin Allah yahdi man yasha." You don't guide whom you like, whom you love. Allah guides whom he wills and wishes. So you can see now, it's not a lip service. That's why the Arabs, they fought the Prophet ﷺ and they were killed because they didn't want to say it, but they understood the meaning of it. And today, thousands of Muslims, they say it and they don't know the meaning of it. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Do you understand the meaning of it? No. How you say La ilaha illallah and then you go to the tomb or the dargah or the mausoleum and you ask this dead person, you ask him to provide for you, you ask him to, women who are not conceiving, to bless them with children, to give them children. They go there and they offer sacrifices at the tomb. Did they understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah? Yes or no? They didn't. And when you come and explain to them, I say, you are Wahhabi, Wahhabi, Kafir, you are Kafir, Wahhabi. SubhanAllah. Someone who is asking you to worship Allah alone, you call him Kafir, call him Wahhabi. May Allah guide all the Muslims. Amen. And tashhada an la ilaha illallah. So you testify and be witness that there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah. And that's why Imam Bukhari reported, the Prophet ﷺ said, man wahhada Allah wa kafara bima yu'bad min dunillah. حَرُمَ مَالُهُ وَدَمُهُ وَحِسَابُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Hadith says, مَنْ وَحَّدَ اللَّهِ, whoever singles out Allah and believes in Him alone and offers all his active worship to Him alone, وَحَّدَ اللَّهِ. Is that enough? No, وَكَفَرَ. So there are two conditions here. Man wahhad Allah, whoever makes tawheed, actualizes tawheed in his life. Man wahhad Allah. Wa, and another condition, wa kafara bima yu'bad min dunillah, and he disbelieves in whatever is worshipped besides Allah. So there are two conditions. Man wahhad Allah. Wakafara. This we call in Arabic fi'l al-shart. Wajawab al-shart, and the fulfillment of these two conditions. Jawab al-shart. What is jawab al-shart? If I fulfill these conditions, what is there for me? What is there for me? من وحد الله وكفر بما يعبد من دون الله. The fruit, the fulfillment, the reward. حرم ماله ودمه. Your blood will become is sacred and your property inviolable. وحسابه على الله, and his affairs will be decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the day his reckoning is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are two conditions. If one of them is not fulfilled, then that will not make your blood sacred, neither your blood nor your property, because you didn't fulfill the two conditions. Two conditions should be fulfilled. For example, if you tell your son who is doing his in high school last year, they said, in najahta wa hasalta, in najahta wa hasalta, إن نجحت وحصلت مجموعا عاليا فوق 90%, سأشتري لك سيارة. سأشتري لك سيارة. Here the father made two conditions. The son is doing his A-level or high school last year. Then he will go to the university. So he's saying, if you pass the exam, final exam, that's condition number one, passing, and you scored A's throughout, you aced A's, then I'll buy you a car. So how many conditions the father put stipulated? The father stipulated two conditions. Passing the exams, not failing. And second thing, he has to score A's throughout. A's. Or A plus. Okay. The child, the son or the daughter, passed the exam. One condition is fulfilled. The second condition was not fulfilled. He didn't get all A's. He got A plus, A minus, B plus, B minus. The question is to you all, does this child deserve the car? In other words, can he or she dare to come to their father and say, where is the key of the car? They will not do that. Why? Because they failed to fulfill the two conditions. Had they fulfilled, he or she, then by all means, dad, this is the script, where is the key? And the father has to buy the car. So the hadith of Bukhari says, man wahhad Allah, condition number one, you have to have tawheed, no shirk. Number two, and disbelieve in whatever is worshipped besides Allah. Yes, I worship only Allah, no shirk, but I don't disbelieve in all these false deities. And sorry, no Jannah and no Islam. It is very serious matter. And no wonder the Prophet remained that number of years in Mecca, just focusing on the importance of the Tawheed, drilling the meaning of this concept in the hearts of the Sahaba. Most of the takalif, the obligations, were revealed in Medina. Makkah, tawheed, tawheed, tawheed. And that's one of the main features of the Meccan surahs. The Meccan surahs, they focus on the tawheed. Unfortunately, many Muslims, this beautiful hadith, they don't understand it. In great depth. Their understanding of it is so superficial. So superficial. Al-Islamu and tashhada an la ilaha illallah. So I hope now it is clear to every one of you this la ilaha and the importance of this negating la. Al-Islamu an tashhada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This is the second part of the Shahadatain. First one, that you worship only Allah and you fulfill the three categories of Tawheed. You single out Allah regarding his own actions, his own divine acts, that he is the only one who created, the only one who provides, the only one who protects. So you single him out regarding his own divine acts. And that is called Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, or unity of Rububiyyah, or Lordship. إفراد الله بعباده بأفعاله. إفراد الله بأفعاله. So I single him out with respect or regarding his own actions. Who's the provider? Allah. Who's the cherisher? Allah. Who's the sustainer? Is Allah. Who's the protector? Is Allah. Who's the disposer of all our affairs? Is Allah. Who's the one who's going to resurrect us? Is Allah. Who's the one who's going to call us to for accountability? Is Allah. Who's the one who runs this kingdom? Allah. So I have to single him out regarding his own divine acts. And that's unity of Rububiyyah, or Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, or unity of Lordship. Then I have to single him out regarding his divine names and attributes. That the names of Allah, that these are his names. And these names, they have meanings. And the meanings of the names are the attributes of Allah. And they are all unique. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. And the most beautiful names belong to Allah, so call upon him by his names. And you have to believe in these names and call upon Allah by his names. And you have to understand the meanings of these names, and they should have impact on my heart. So I have to believe in his names and his attributes, and I single him out regarding his names and attributes, that nothing is like unto Allah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like unto him. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And he's all hearing, all seeing, all hearer, all seer. And then I single him out regarding my own actions. إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِأَفْعَالِ الْعِبَادِ بِأَفْعَالِي. So my deeds, my acts are for him. My salah, my siyah, my zakah, my dua, my hajj, my everything. Ifradullah bi af'ali al-ibad. And this is called Tawheed al-ibadah, or Tawheed al-uluhiyah. Unity of worship, or unity of divinity. Unity of worship. So that is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Rububiyyah, uluhiyyah, and asma and sifat. Now, wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Now here I have another category of tawheed related to the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I single him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is my messenger, he's my prophet, and he's the only one I follow. And that's why the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah, la matbu'a bihaqqin illa Rasulullah. There is no one who deserves to be followed except Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's messenger. La matbu'a bihaqq illa Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, illa Rasulullah. Which means I follow him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever he tells me, I say, I hear, and I obey. I follow whatever my prophet says. وَمَا آتَاكُمَ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Prophet gives you, take it, and whatever he forbids you, abstain from it. That's the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah. The meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have to believe that he delivered the message completely and perfectly. And he didn't hide any part of it. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. A Jew, Yehudi, came to Sayyidina Umar and said, there is a verse, ayah, in your book. Had that ayah, that verse, sent down upon us, the Jews, we would have commemorated that day. He said, what ayah? He said, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Sayyidina Umar said, yes, I know it. It came down on Eid, on the day of Arafah. But the deen has been perfected and completed. Al-yawma, today, akmaltu lakum deenakum, completed and perfected deen, and completed my favors and bounties upon you and blessings upon you. Wa raditu lakum al-islam deena, and they have chosen al-islam as a way of life, deen for you. So the deen has been perfected and completed. And the Prophet ﷺ, he made the Sahaba to testify, to bear witness that he delivered the message. And he made Allah to be his witness. So the deen has been completed. Yet, many Muslims, throughout their actions, they are saying the opposite, that the deen was not completed. How? Because they kept inventing and adding things to the deen that the Prophet ﷺ didn't teach. And they call these things good additions, bid'ah hasana, good innovations. What made them good? Because the deen was imperfect, incomplete, so you are filling the missing parts, which means the Prophet, he hid part of the deed, he didn't deliver. So that's why you are trying to fill the blanks. Because if the deen is complete, as Allah said, and it is, and the Prophet ﷺ delivered the message completely, and he didn't hide any part of it. And he said, "Taraktukum ala al-bayda, laylaha ka nahariha, la yaziru anha illa halik." I have left you on a clear path, very clear. Its day and night are alike. Whoever deviates from their end will be ruined, will be destroyed. And he said, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa rad." Whoever innovates anything in our matter will be rejected, will not be accepted from him. Because the deen has been completed. And he said, "Kullu bid'atin dalala wa kullu dalalatin finnar." Every innovation in the deen is a misguidance. And every misguidance leads to the fire. Yet, some Muslims, they are adding things to the deen, inventing things to the deen, and they are calling them good innovations. Subhanallah. That's why Imam Malik, he said, "من زعم أن في الإسلام بدعة حسنة إنما يتهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالخيانة." إني سمعت الله يقول اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا وما لم يكن يومئذ دينا فلن يكون اليوم دينا. That's what the Apostle Imam Malik said. Whoever claims there is good innovation in the deen, فإنما يتهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالخيانة. Most certainly, he accuses his prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he betrayed the message. He hid part of it. He didn't deliver the message completely. Then he continued, Imam Malik, saying, إني سمعت الله يقول, I heard Allah saying in the Quran, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. Today I have completed, perfected your deen. وأتممت عليكم نعمتي and completed my favors upon you. فرضيت لكم الإسلام دينا and I have chosen Islam as a way of life for you, as deen. وما لم يكن يومئذ دينا, Imam Malik saying, and what was not part of the deen at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, فَلَنْ يَكُونَ لِيَوْمَ دِينَ, it will not be part of the deen today. It will not be. And now if you see the bid'ah and the innovations in the deen, in everything in the deen, in aqidah there are innovations, in ibadat there are innovations, in transactions, there are innovations, which are against the Islamic teachings and what the Prophet taught. If you take wudu and see the innovations in the wudu, they have made for every organ a special dua. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, idha kuntum lis-salah, when you intend to pray, faghsulu wujuhakum wa aydiyakum ila al-marafiq, wash your faces and your arms up to the elbows, including the elbows, and wipe your heads and wash your feet. This is what Allah said about the wudu. Did he mention wiping the neck? No. How many Muslims they wipe their neck when they are performing wudu? Where did they get that from? The Quran is clear and the Sunnah is so clear. When it comes to the Salah, the Prophet ﷺ said, pray as you have seen me pray. Go and check your salah against the salah of the Prophet ﷺ and find out. So innovations, bid'ah and everything. SubhanAllah. As if the deen is incomplete. Instead of just following and maintaining the deen in its pristine form, people, the Muslims started adding. SubhanAllah. Islam has given the Muslims green light to invent and innovate in the dunya. Dunya, you have green light, go and invent and innovate. The deen is just perfect, complete. Maintain it in its pristine form. The early Muslims, they understood that very well. So they directed their efforts for the dunya. Okay? Experimentations, inventing things. And that's why they managed to build a civilization that had no parallel in history. The civilization you see today in Europe is based on what our forefathers already established for them. Because the early Muslims understood. In the deen, we just keep it and maintain it. We don't add anything to it. In the dunya, we have green light. Because the Prophet said, "Antum a'lam bi shu'uni dunyakum." You are the experts okay, to know about your mundane affairs. But later on, Muslims, they became lazy and they reversed things. The dunya, I said, no, 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 the dunya, we leave it for the kuffar. And the deen, we will spoil it and we will add and keep adding to it. Innovations, bid'ah in the deen. And the dunya, no, 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 the dunya is for the kuffar. So the Muslim nation became so backward, even their weapons, they cannot manufacture their own weapons to defend themselves. Everything is bought from the kuffar. And the kuffar, they know what you have. And they know how many bullets you have, the ammunition you have. Because they are the one who provided for you. Subhanallah. May Allah guide our ummah. Amen. الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. So understand please the meaning of this shahada and the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah. Follow his sunnah and leave all these types of innovations. وتقيم الصلاة. The salah, the prayer. This salah was prescribed in heaven, not on earth. Allah took his prophet to the seven firmaments and gave him this gift, salah, to show its importance and significance. And it was 50 in numbers, 50. Now 5 times a day, and yet Muslims, they are lazy, and some keep missing their prayers, or some they don't pray at all. Salah. وتقيم الصلاة. تقيم الصلاة. Not only you do the salah mechanically, no, with all the pillars of it, all the wajibat of it, and all the sunnah of it. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, the believers, those who have khushu', homi, concentration in their salah, are successful. They are successful. The Prophet ﷺ, the last words before he breathed his last was As-salatu as-salahu wa ma malakat aymanikum. Your prayers, and what your right hands possess, taking care of the slaves. But to qim as-salah. إن العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر. The dividing line between Islam and apostasy is the salah. Whoever leaves the salah is kafir, the Prophet said. The Sahaba unanimously, there's consensus, considered that the salah, the one who doesn't pray, is a kafir. Allah says, مَا سَلَقَكُمْ, the malaika will say in the day of resurrection, whenever a group is thrown to the hellfire, مَا سَلَقَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ, أَلُمْ لَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ, what brought you to the hellfire? You say, we were not praying. We were not praying. مُرُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ سَبْعٍ وَاضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ عَشْرٍ. Command your children to pray when they reach the age of 7, and discipline them when they reach the age of 10. So if one's husband doesn't pray, she has to ask him to pray. If you say, I will not pray, say, sorry. This is the end of our relationship. I will not continue living with you. If your wife doesn't pray, ask her to pray. said, I will not pray. Sorry. I will not continue living with you. وتقيم الصلاة. وتؤتي الزكاة. You give the zakah. It's one of the pillars of Islam. That's why Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, he said, by Allah, I will fight whoever differentiate between the salah and zakah. And he fought Bani Hanifa, though they were praying, fasting, everything, except the zakah. He fought them, and he brought them back to Islam and forced them to give the zakah. وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان, fasting the month of Ramadan, which is once a year, 1 month per year, when you reach the age of puberty. And you have to continue fasting unless you become so feeble and weak. Then you give the fidya or the expiation. Or if you are sick, or a woman is breastfeeding or pregnant, okay, they can break the fast, then they have to make it up later. وتصوم رمضان أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. For you who believe, siyam, fasting, was prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Perhaps you will get and achieve taqwa, fear of Allah, piety and righteousness. وَتَحِجُّ الْبَيْتِ إِنْ اسْتَطَعْتَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Then the hajj. It is part once in your lifetime. Upon every Muslim adult, after reaching the age of puberty, it becomes fard on you. If you can afford that financially and physically, okay, maybe financially you are able, but now physically you cannot. You are so old and you kept delaying the hajj, and now you are so old. So somebody else has to perform the hajj on your behalf. But if you can, the sooner the better. You should not procrastinate. You have to perform the hajj immediately. Okay, if you have the price of the ticket and the food and the accommodation, then you should not delay performing the hajj. And for the woman, on top of all these things, is the mahram. A woman cannot perform hajj without a mahram. If she doesn't have a mahram, she is exempted, and she will not be held accountable for not performing the hajj. So this is the beautiful hadith for today. This is the rough explanation for it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds and your deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficent knowledge of righteous deeds. And may Allah keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen. Until we meet Allah and find Him, please, with all of us, ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ummah in the haqq. And may Allah unite our hearts in the haqq. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allahu khayra. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I mean, we have received a couple questions, Sheikh, if you'd like to answer them.
Go ahead.
Inshallah. The first question is, would you be able to explain Tawheed and Aqeedah and Tawheed Mu'amala?
Okay, Tawheed is literally, it means to single out. And linguistically, it means to unite. For example, we say, Wahad al-Malik al-Bilad, the king united all the different parts of the country into one entity. So that is linguistically. And technically, means to single out Allah, as I explained, regarding his names and attributes, regarding his own actions, and regarding your own actions, they should be only for Allah. That's the Tawheed. The word Aqeedah means the doctrine, the ideology, that set of beliefs which are held and tied firmly in one's heart. So that's the Aqeedah. So the Aqeedah, we say Aqeedah al-Tawheed. What's the Aqeedah of the Muslim? Aqeedah al-Tawheed. What is the creed? What is the doctrine of the Muslim? What he believes in is in the oneness of Allah, singling out Allah, worshipping only Allah. Aqeedah al-Tawheed. Okay? So the Aqeedah of al-Tawheed, or the creed of monotheism, or the monotheistic creed. So we have to differentiate between the Tawheed and the Aqeedah. Aqeedah by itself is just what you hold in your heart. It can be wrong, it can be right. So what is the Aqeedah of the Christians? The Christians have Aqeedah, which is the Holy Trinity, Aqeedah at-Tathlith. So all the kuffar, all disbelievers, everyone has Aqeedah. That ideology which he believes in. Whether that Aqeedah, whether that set of beliefs he holds, right or wrong, that is another issue. Okay? But we as Muslims, our Aqeedah is the Tawheed, monotheistic creed, believing in the oneness of Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And the last part of the question about Mu'amala.
Yes, that's right, Sheikh.
Yeah, Mu'amala means interactions, how we treat each other. Okay, we deal with each other. How we treat each other. We have to treat each other with justice and fairness. Justice and fairness. We should not wrong one another. We should not transgress. We should not cross the boundaries, and we should not violate the limits, etc. Next question, please.
Barakallahu feekum. The next question. Will Abu Dhalib be people of Ahlul Jannah if he has accepted only Tawheed and the Prophet would have been able to make Shafa'ah?
Would you mind repeating the question?
No worries. Will Abu Dhalib be people of Ahlul Jannah if he has accepted only Tawheed and the Prophet would be able to make Shafa'ah?
If Abu Talib, he didn't accept the Islam and he's in the hellfire in Jahannam. The Prophet ﷺ said so. But had he accepted Islam at that moment, yes, that will help him. That will help him and he will be in the Jannah, but he didn't. Because the Jew, the young man, when he accepted Islam and he died, the Prophet ﷺ said, Alhamdulillah, all praises due to Allah who delivered him and saved him, okay, through me from the hellfire. So if someone says the kalima, the shahada, and died, Alhamdulillah. The Prophet ﷺ said, Man kana akhir kalamu la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. Whoever his last words were the kalima, la ilaha illallah, then he will be granted admission to the Jannah. Next.
We have not received any other questions. Please send your questions in now if you have any. I will give a few seconds, inshallah. I've received one question. What about the people whom are worrying this life? What will you eat tomorrow, etc.? Well, until it makes what was inshallah be shirk.
Would you mind? They are worried about tomorrow, what they are going to earn tomorrow.
Yes, sir. From what I understand, if the people who are worrying about what they will eat tomorrow, will this be shirk?
It is lack of iman, I can say. To have no yaqeen, no certainty. Because if you believe and you have strong iman that Allah is the provider and He is the one who provides for you and He provides for everyone. Imagine you find worm inside a rocks, inside a stone. You break the stone, you find worm alive. Who was feeding that worm? Allah. Allah provides for the disbelievers. Do you think He will desert you? No. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, لو أنكم توكلون على الله حق توكله لا رزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو في ماصن وتعود بطانا. The meaning, had you really believed, had you really put your trust in Allah, you relied on Allah, depended on Allah, and you trust Him as He should be trusted, Allah will provide for you in the same way He provides for the birds. They leave the birds, they leave their nests in the morning with their stomachs empty, and they come back with their stomachs full. So the one who provides for the birds will provide for you. But the birds did not remain sitting in their nests. They, in the morning, they left. That's why they say the early bird catches the worm. So you have to leave your home and look for your livelihood. You don't sit and say, Allah will provide for me. It says in Umar bin Khattab, it was his sunnah to check, go through the masajids in Medina. And if he finds people sitting there and doing nothing, he would say, what are you doing? Leave, go. Look for your sustenance. Look for your livelihood. The sky will not rain gold. That's why the ulama, they say, a Muslim tires his body but never his heart. Yes, you have to work and earn your livelihood, your rizq. Next.
Barakallahu feekum. The question was asking, I now understood, the people who are worrying in this life, so much so that it leads to waswas in salah. Does this, is this part of shirk?
That's not part of shirk. This is one of the tricks of the shaitan. Tricks of the shaitan. That's why the Prophet taught us to seek protection from the shaitan who makes whispers in the hearts of mankind. Okay? So those who have this waswas, they are opening the door for the shaitan, and shaitan will make their life miserable. So if you have this problem, just ignore all these satanic whispers. Okay, and you don't pay attention to all these things. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأْتِي أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَيَنْفُخُ فِي مَقْعَدَتِهِ. Shaitan comes to one of you in his salah and he blows at the back of one of you. Blows at your at one's anus. So the Prophet ﷺ said, one should not leave the salah until he or she hears a sound or smell a smell. Odor. Smell an odor. Which means he should not leave the salah until you are 100% sure. But the shaitan plays with the people. Or maybe you took wudu, and then after you took wudu, you felt, oh, maybe a drop of urine came out. That is from the shaitan. That's why a man came to Ibn Abbas and he said, I take wudu, then I feel something. He said, okay, when you take wudu, when you wash your private part, then when you are before you get up, take a handful of water, splash it over the private part. Then if the shaitan tells you that that was a drop of urine, say, no, a drop of water. So never, ever open the door. Once you open the door for the shaitan, he will make your life miserable. I hope this is clear to the questioner. And after doing the ibadah, you prayed. Now the shaitan comes to you. You missed a rak'ah, you missed something. After you did the salah, don't pay attention to that. Forget about it. No. Say, my salah was perfect, my salah is complete. Next question.
What is the meaning of salah and why is it called salah?
Salah, it has different meaning. It means it is from the sila, which means connection. So this is your spiritual connection with Allah. Okay. And also it's called salah from salah yasli, which means to burn, to burn. To burn. The salah consumes the sins and burns your sins by the salah. So when you through the process of the salah, all your sins are burnt, all your sins are washed away. I hope this is clear. Next.
Barakallahu fikum. This was the last question. Jazakallah khair. Thank you for everyone's attendance. I'll hand it back to the Sheikh to conclude the lesson. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward you all. May Allah elevate your status in this world and in Jannatul Na'im. Ameen. And may Allah keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen till we meet our Rabb. Confide Him, please, with all of us. Ameen. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Fi hifdhillahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.